to be here. It's the first time I'm going to preach entirely in English. So, but I said to the Holy Spirit, you speak all languages, fill me. So it's not a problem, I think. I want to give you the blessings for our church in Hunsbrook, Helen, Living Waters Church. We've been blessed by the Lord, our church. We may for 54 years, our church is there. We're going to talk about this morning. I do a lot of preaching out of the Old Testament because the Old Testament, I like it. There are a lot of stories in it that there are examples for us. We can learn from them. We're going to read Haggai 1, verse 1 till 11. A call to build the house of the Lord. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, son of Josadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. It's a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses. Okay. While this house remains a ruin. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you harvest this little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build me a house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, I turned it out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and all at the labor of your hands. Heavy word. Let's talk a little about the prophet Haggai. He was one of the small prophets. It has nothing to do with his size, because you have the big prophets, Jeremiah, Josiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, we know them. And then you have the little prophets, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah. He was the last one of the little prophets. The last one. And it was for the last time that God spoke in the Old Testament. After Haggai, God didn't speak anymore till John the Baptist. 400 years later. I didn't know that. But then you're going to prepare for the word and you're going to study some other books and you're going into the internet. And then you see this all. That's one of the great things. When you're allowed to preach, you have to dive into the word, and then you see all those things you didn't know. So, wow, I think, wow, God, I didn't know that. For 400 years, God didn't speak anymore till John the Baptist. Did you know that? I didn't. That's true. And he had a very short career. You know the careers of Jeremiah, 40 or 50 years. At Josiah, 40 or 50 years, they did the work of God. But Haggai did it for just 3 months. Very short career. 3 months, and then it was over. That's maybe why his book is also so little. He only had 3 months to work on it. But he worked for 3 months. And where did he work? In Jerusalem. And at what time? They came back from the second deportation. You know, they were deported 2 times. The whole, mostly of the people of Israel, and they went to Babylon. And they stayed there for over 70 years. All the young people, the educated people, everything who the king of Babylon could need was deported to Babylon. Only the little children and the old people stayed behind. So for 70 years, nothing happened in Jerusalem. It was a wasteland. Can you imagine that? It was a wasteland because the old people and the little children couldn't do anything. All the people who could do something were gone, were deported. And that's a miracle happened. King Darius said, I give you the choice to go back. You may go back if you want. Wow, what a king, a good king. You may go back, but not everyone went back. Because a lot of guys were born there in Babylon. They had their studies there. They had a career there because Babylon was a very rich city. It was the center point of five very important business routes, to the east, to China, to India, from the north. Everything came together in Babylon. So it was a very rich city with a lot of business. So a lot of Jewish people said, I don't go back. There's nothing for me in Jerusalem. It's a wasteland. What will I find there when I go back? Will I have a job? It's a very normal question, So a lot of people stayed in Babylon. About 50,000 people went back to Jerusalem. And one of those guys is Haggai. And Haggai was one of the small prophets, I told you already. And when you see, when you look at the big prophets, Jeremiah, Josiah, and the other guys, they always give warnings. They warn the people. When you don't do this and you don't do that, God will punish you. And God warned them for 40, 50 years. But the people, they didn't listen. It was a hell of a job to be a prophet. It didn't pay very well. It was no big career. And when you came, they said, oh, there's the prophet again. They don't want to, he has bad things to say. But you read the Bible, Josiah has to run away from the people. He wanted to throw rocks on him. And he has to, the queen wants to kill him. He has to go to the little creek where the birds feed him with the bread. Maybe you know that story. So it was no big career. But what you see at the small prophets, after the deportation, God speaks to the small prophets at a whole different way. He doesn't warn them anymore, but he gives them words of encouragement. But this word was heavy. Because the big thing was they only were building their own houses. But the temple of God, didn't do much about it. As is a good thing for us also, because we're people from the New Testament, Christians, are temples of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost lives in us. And I hope I don't tell anything new for you. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you have to build on that temple every day to make it better. Do you know Ruben Flack from the VPE? You know Ruben, I like him. He's a very nice guy. He lived in Brazil for years and years. But now he's in Holland. He's having the good life. So he's looking a bit like me. It's the good life. And his wife says, Ruben, it's going the wrong way. Ruben says, you cook too good, my lovely wife. No, she says, you eat too much. No, Ruben says, I'm building on my temple. I'm making my temple bigger so more of the Holy Spirit can come in. That's the way to put it. But that is what he said. He's a nice guy, Ruben. Yeah, it's a good way. But that's not what the Bible means. You have to make your temple bigger so that less of yourself and more of the Holy Spirit can come in. Amen. And why? Just as God had big plans with Jerusalem, God has big plans with you and me. And maybe you say, I don't know what God will do with me. I'm not very well educated. I don't know any too much. What can I do? When you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, God can do things through you that you can't imagine. The sky is the limit. I'm 49 years now in the church. When I was 17 years old, I took the Lord into my life. So I've seen a lot in those years. A lot of miracles. Things that when you should say, oh man, this is such a big mountain on my path. I can't get over it. When you pray, the mountains will lift up and walk into the sea. That's what the word says. I've seen so many miracles through those years that I say, wow, God, how mighty are you? But we have to build on our temple. You can't say many years ago, I took Christ into my life, I get baptized, and that's it. Now I'm ready. Lord, come and take me. Okay. When you come back, I hope to be there with you. A lot of Christians think that way. Last, I was in our church and I said, do we pray, let your kingdom come, as the Lord taught us. And a lot of people said, why not? Let the kingdom stay away for a little while, they said. I like it here on earth. So I like it here on earth. It's not bad here on earth, but it is nothing compared to heaven. Heaven is the best place to be. So I say, let the Lord come now, this minute. I say it all the time. I pray it also, let your kingdom come. And a lot of people say, yeah, but why? I said, I think there's something going on. So I asked, why don't you want to come? Well, don't you that the Lord comes back? Because I'm not sure if I go with him. So, come on, we make an appointment, we have to talk. There's a whole other kind of story. But we have to look forward to the coming of the Lord. Because we are his temple. But he wants to use us. But we have to build on our temple. Because when we don't do that, we read what is going to happen. The blessings of the Lord are going away. Very slowly, it goes away. When we don't build on this temple, and we can take everything for granted as a Christian, it slips away, the blessings of the Lord. Spiritual blessings, but also material blessings. And those King Darius, he was a great guy. When you look in the, I couldn't find it so fast, so I didn't write it down. But I know, in another part in the Bible, he says, go back to your countries. He said to all the other people, also, not only Jewish people, but there were people from all other countries they conquered. And he said to them all, go back to your country. Build a temple for your God and pray for me. That is what King Darius said. Pray for me that I will be a good king. Wow, what a clever guy, eh? And everything said, yeah, we will do that. And they went back. So the king sent them back. He told him, build a temple for me. So pray to your God that I will be blessed. Wow, clever king. And so 50,000 people, I said it already, went back. The rest stayed in Babylon. And there were two leaders with them. Zerubbabel, that means son of Babylon. And Joshua, the high priest. Those were the two guys who were the leader of the 50,000 people who went back. Zerubbabel is from, what do you say it? He is related to David, to King David. Zerubbabel was the grandson of the last king, Jehoiakim. So the promise of God goes on. Eh? Because God promised David that out of you will become the Savior. Eh? The line will go on. Even when you're deported, or what's going to happen in your life, the line of God will go on. Zerubbabel is the example. What God promised, what he promises, he does. He does. He does. You don't have to doubt about it. No doubt about it. I know that for sure. But the problem is, we want everything right away. Before we say amen, we want to have it. But that's not the way it goes. God can do that, and there are examples that God immediately answers and does a miracle. But most of the time we have to wait, because God wants to see how is your faith. Huh? How much do you rely on me? He helps us. He educated us with that. We do that with our children also. When my children were little and they said, "Papi, I want candy." I didn't all the time, so with a big box of candy. Yeah, you have the candy all the time. Or I want something new to play or some toys. I didn't give them right away. When you do that, you get very spoiled kids. So parents with little kids, don't do that. Huh? You wanted to, you can't give it to them. You have the money to do it. But don't do it immediately. Huh? Because they're very spoiled. And so it's got the Father with us also. He wants to give us. He has everything to give us. Everything is in heaven. Everything is standing there. He's rich. Huh? He wants to give it to us, but not right away. You have to see. Huh? Are you building on your temple? Are you doing the things I told you to do for out of the word? That is what the Lord wants to see. And when you obey, and when you stay faithful, and you keep on working, God will give to you things you can't imagine. But God loves us. He wants to give us things. Oh, even material things. When you pray for things, God will give it to you. But I'm not one of those guys who says, "Okay, come to the Lord, and tomorrow you will have a new house, and next day, a week you have a new job, and over 3 weeks you have a new car." No, that is not my kind of preaching. But when you really need something, God is going to provide. God is going to provide, no doubt about it. And I think that everyone here, when I ask you, you can say, "Okay, that's right." You have your experiences with it. Huh? God is a mighty God. But he wants us to do what he says. And there's two leaders were there. And you have to think about it. When you live there for a whole kind of years, and you have to go a couple of thousand kilometers to a land you don't know, just like Abraham, the same story. It's not easy. Because you have to leave behind your friends. You have to leave behind some members of your family. Maybe you have to leave behind your children. And it's difficult. And then can go on foot a couple of thousand miles to Jerusalem, you know only by name, and to a wasteland. Then you have to have a lot of faith to do that. Huh? But when you obey, and when you take the opportunities that God gives you, King Darius gave them that opportunity. They took it, but that won't be. It's not be said it will be easy. God never said it will be easy. It's a narrow road that goes to heaven. It's not a stairway to heaven. Yeah? You know the song from Led Zeppelin? You know what I think? Very good song. Stairway to heaven. That doesn't exist. It's a very narrow path. And a dark part, the left and right, big things go down, or do you call it? It's a small part. Huh? And you have to look at the word. The word has to be a lamp before your foot, because you have to shine so you can see where you walk on the narrow road. And you have to look at your brother and sister who walk behind you and in the back of you and in front of you. Huh? Maybe hold each other's hands for some time on that narrow road. Now we have to be one. We need each other. When it was up to you, we bought a big 1,000-watt light. Eh? It's a big light to shine on the narrow road. So we can see where we're walking. Eh? We can see where we're going. Eh? We can see 3 miles ahead. No, the narrow road is a very small light, the lamp. Maybe not even electric. Maybe a candle. Eh? So you have to pay attention on the road you're walking on. Eh? But that's good, because then you keep looking at the Lord. And you don't look around at what everything was to see. You look on the Lord only. And that is the thing that the guys has to do here. And to be obedient, to build. They started building. Now, when you read another part of the Bible, they started building. But after about 2 years, they stopped. And why did they stop? because they were more involved with their own houses. They have to build new houses for themselves also. And there's nothing wrong with that. God wants that, that you have a roof above your head, and that you have to eat, and that if you have clothing, there's nothing wrong with that. Huh? But what's important? Always in our own lives, the things of the Lord, so building on your own temple is more important than building on your, your normal house. And they started good, but they, after a while, they stopped. But on their own housing, we read it, they go on. And they were beautiful houses with a lot of wood on it. And you say wood, but wood was very expensive in that days, because in Israel there is not much wood. And Babylon, when they took the country, they cut down all the trees. They took all the wood with them. So when you want to do something with wood in your house, you have to import it from Lebanon. Lebanon, there were those big trees, where the temple was also built of. You can read it in the Bible. The trees from the cedars from Lebanon. And there is a small village in the near where I live, Amstenrade. I was born there. Very small. And there is a big castle with a park. And the man who lived there in that park, he was a very big fan of trees and plants. So we have you have to visit that park. It's free. You can walk in there, in the back of the castle, and you see a couple of cedars from the Lebanon, because he has all trees from all over the world. Yes, in that park, with a little sign on it, so you can read what kind of tree it is and where it comes from. And there are two big cedars of the Lebanon. And they are very big. They are 150 or 200 years old. Very big trees. So God knows what material he wanted for his temple. Only the best. That's why the cedars from Lebanon. And those guys who worked on their own house ordered that wood for their own house in Lebanon. So it was very expensive. And that's where their money went. But there was no money to rebuild the temple. There was no money. They had no savings, because when they left from Babylon, all the savings, they had to spend to buy things for the journey back to Jerusalem. Because when you're going to walk about 2,500 kilometers, you need a lot of stuff on the way. So all the money they did save, they spent, so there was not much savings. So with the little savings they had, they started to build Jerusalem, but after a while, the savings were gone. And they had a job, maybe, and they were building their own houses. But they didn't think about the temple. And 18 years after they went back to Jerusalem, there comes Haggai. This story that you just read is about 18 years after they went back. So for 16 years, there was nothing going on at the temple. It was a ruin. Do you know those ruins? I visited a lot of times. I visited Eastern Europe, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and a lot of guys start building there with a house. You know that? They start building to do it themselves, because it's too expensive to do it by a contractor. But they only can work as long as they have money. And you know that? They save a little money, and then they're going to build a few bricks. But then the money is gone, so for a year, nothing is going to happen. So you see all kinds of building ruins. And it takes them maybe 10 or 15 years till the house is ready. When it comes ready. Maybe it never comes ready. And so it was with the temple. The most important building in the city, it was a ruin. And God wanted to live in that temple. Because in those days, in the Old Testament, God's Spirit was in the holy temple, was in the temple. And once a year, the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies to do praying for the people. We know that. And the high priest had a rope around his mind, a rope. Because they said when many of the high priests fell down in the almighty presence of God, they fell down, they became unconscious, and they could throw him out of the Holy of Holies with a rope. I didn't know that. I read it in the Bible a couple of months ago because it did the preaching about that. So you learn every day. From the word, it's marvelous. So it is the most important building. Now we're blessed in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We are now the temple where God lives through his Holy Spirit. Wow. The people of the Old Testament, they're jealous about us. Jealous. They couldn't come to God once a year to the high priest. But now every minute of every day and every night, we can come to the Lord. Wow, what a blessing. God is not far away anymore. He is within us. Huh? Which religion do you know where the God lives? In the people. Doesn't exist. None. They have all good things, those religions, but Christianity is the only one where the Spirit lives. The Spirit of the living God lives. So don't ruin it, people. Don't make a ruin of your life. Build on that temple. Keep building on the temple. Keep praying. Keep visiting the church. Look for something to do in the church. Don't be a guy or a girl who sits on the chair and that's it. I put a few euros in the basket, and that's it. Come involved. Ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do? And maybe you're very shy, or you don't know much. It doesn't count with the Lord. When you say, Lord, I want to do something for you, but I don't know what, but here I am, build me up. God's going to talk to you. God's going to give you something to do, because there's a lot of work in the kingdom of God. But you have to want to be involved. Eh? You must be involved. But in the work of God, God is not a dictator who says you have to do that. No, it's your own choice. But I will give you a good advice. Go and do it. Do it. Go and do something. Doesn't matter what. And when you can't do anything, the most important thing you can always do is praying. Amen. That's the most important job in the kingdom of God. And when you can speak, when you have a tongue and a mouth, you can pray. We have a couple of old sisters in our church. They walk with the... Some they can't walk, but those are the most important sisters in the church. What they do, they pray every day. Everything they hear, and someone is sick, or someone has a car exam, or someone has whatever, they pray for it. Wow. Yesterday, we have a new team who goes onto the streets to talk to the people, to invite them to the coffee bar. And it was the first time they went yesterday for a couple of years. There was nothing going on there. And now there's a new group. And I prayed for that with a lot of other brothers. So I'm very happy that it started now. But I said, the old sisters have to be involved too. No, they can't take them with them on the streets. I said, you have to ask them to pray. So at what time do you go into the streets? Yeah, from 1 till 4. So talk to the sisters. Write it down on a note because they're a little old. They don't forget things. Write it on a note. From 1 to 4, pray for the guys who go out in the streets. And they did it. And they talked with 8 guys, over 100 people. They talked with over 100 people. Hallelujah. And good talks. And the people were very curious. And some people wanted to that they were prayed with them. It's like, wow, that's because of the old sisters who prayed. So praying is very important. Start to pray more. Build on your temple. Yeah. And everything is gone 18 years later. And that's the reason why God took away his blessings. He held away the rain. He held back the dew, we read. So, they sat there in their well-built houses with a lot of expensive wood from Lebanon. But they weren't happy. Because when you build on those things, you won't seek happiness. Because you're never satisfied. You always want more, 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 more. You know, when you don't have Christ, I have from my 18th till my 50th, I had my own company. I made a lot of money. And I met a lot of guys who had much more money than me. But they were no Christians. And they weren't happy. They live in big houses. When I visited them for the first time, I had to ring on the bell. The big gates come open, and I had to drive for 5 minutes with the car before it was at the front door. Such a big properties they had, but they were not happy. And a couple of guys killed themselves. And then you think, why do they have such big amounts of money on the bank? But they're not happy. They were not happy. So focus on the blessings of the Lord. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You know that song? Karen Lafferty, I met her a couple, 30 years ago. I don't know, does she live? Don't you know that? Karen Lafferty? No. You don't know her? She wrote that song. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Lovely girl. Lovely woman. Lovely Christian. But this is the truth. When you seek the kingdom of first, all the things will be added to you. Wow. That's the truth. You have to make a decision. Even when you're Christian, you have to decide every day what I'm going to do today. Going to serve the Lord or going to build on my normal house. There's nothing wrong with that. You can go to the Gamma and the all those companies, and you can do a... I don't do much at mine because I have two left hands. I don't know how to do it. And that's what I say to my wife. My wife says, can you do this? Can you do that? I said, no, I don't know how to do it. Some things I know, but I let the other guys do it better. I have a brother-in-law. Wow, he's a guy with a golden hammer. He can do everything. So I say, Hans, his name is Hans. I said, I have difficulties with doing my taxes. Well, you do this for me in my house to satisfy my wife, I will do the taxes for you. And then so we help each other. That's also a way to do it. But build on the kingdom of God. Because they didn't, and they are an example for us. So the Lord took the blessings away. There was not enough food, there was not enough clothing, there was not enough to drink. They suffered. And they were the people of God who obeyed God 80 years before to come back. But that's not enough. You have to keep obeying the Lord. The Lord told them, build my temple. I want to live amongst you. I want to be with you. I want to have contact with you. Build my house so I can live there. That is what he said in the Old Testament. And to us he says it now. Keep building on your house. Keep praying. Keep reading the Bible. Keep visiting the church. Because I see in our church, and I hear it from other churches, one is a good weather, the sun is going to shine on Sunday morning. A lot of people say, I don't go to church. I go on a picnic, or I go biking, or I go swimming, or I go... The Lord doesn't mind. He loves me. You say, okay, the Lord doesn't mind. But come to the church first. In the afternoon, you can go swimming. In the afternoon, you can go biking. You can do whatever you want. But come to the church. And you see, the people who don't do that, they're slowly slipping away. But when you start to stay away for that reasons, it's going to slip away. You're going to stay away more and more and more. And at the end, you say, why bother? I can't find the Lord at home. He's everywhere. I put on the television, I look at the sermon. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but nothing beats the church. Meeting real people, meeting your brothers and sisters and new people. Nothing beats that. And that's what the Lord wants. When you're sick is another question. You stay at home, you ask the people to pray for you. That's something else. But don't say, oh man, I don't feel like it. I'm going to do something else. Because that, the blessing of the Lord is going away. Because the Lord wants us to be obedient in that things. I know a guy in our church who wants to do everything for the Lord. But he's only once a month is in church. He said, why aren't you the other three? Oh, I go swimming and I go this. So you want to do everything, but you can't bring up the strength to be 2 hours a week in church. They look. And then you want to do a lot of things. You have to be obedient in the small things. And it starts with visiting the church. You can do everything you want, but when you can't be 2 hours in church for once a week, forget about the rest. Yeah, but the Lord lives in me, and I can pray at home. And say, you don't get it. Say, I will pray for you that you're going to get it. What's the main issue? Where's going? What's all about? You have to be obedient. And the things God asks us are not heavy. No. Do you think it's heavy to be a Christian? It's the burden for you. Not for me. And it's not always easy. Because I said there's no stairway to heaven. It's not always easy. And sometimes there are struggles. And sometimes there is disease. And sometimes there is. You can call it whatever you want. But I know when I obey the Lord and when I keep on praying, there will be an answer.
That's right.
And I can write books about it, what the Lord did in my own life and in my family's life and in the life of my brothers and sisters and people all around me. I can write books about it. Because our God is an awesome God. But we have to keep on building on our own temple. When my wife became a Christian, who know my wife? Yeah, Mariette. Peace of heaven on earth, an angel. I'm very happy with her. I've been married for 29 years, and I'm still more in love with her every day. I don't know if it's the other way around, but I have to ask her, but I feel it that it's so. And she's a gift of heaven. But when she was 19 when she met the Lord, no one told her about the Lord. Her father became a Christian. And the father was a very hard man, a very stubborn man, who never could say sorry to his kids. And when he became a Christian, he said sorry, he cried. He became an all, and my wife saw that, and he said, wow, there's something going on. No one told her the gospel. Only the changes she saw in her father drew her to the church, and she became a Christian. But then, there was that Sunday, she was the first time in church, there was some kind of preaching, just like this, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And she gave her life to the Lord, but she did smoke. And she said, wow, now I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pollute that temple, I don't want to do that. I'm going to quit smoking, because I don't want to pollute the temple. A very straightforward thinking. But she did it, and she stopped right away. So people who are smoking, let me say one thing. If you smoke or don't smoke, God loves you even as much. That's no issue. But think about it. You're polluting your temple. It costs a lot of money. It's not healthy. And while you smoke in the house, every year you have to, the painter has to come to paint everything. I don't smoke, and my wife, my whole family, no one smokes. There are two guys in the whole family who smoke. But when they were with me, I said, you have to smoke outside. But 10 years ago, that was the last time the painter was in my house. Everything is brand new, like 10 years ago, but there's no smoking. My neighbor and his wife, they both smoke. Each smoke a pack a day. This is with 14 packs a week. Are 6.50 a pack? €6, 6.50. Then they drink one crate of beer a day. The two, eh? When you come there in the house, all the family also smokes. Last time I was there on a birthday, I couldn't breathe. After 5 minutes, I had to go outside. 20 people were smoking. And when you don't smoke yourself, I couldn't breathe anymore. I had to go. But the main issue is, we are blessed that we can go on holiday, my wife and me, 3 or 4 times a year. But he says, I never can go on holiday. Why do you pay? Where does the money come from? I say, yeah. So I don't smoke, I don't drink. That saves a lot of money. And I was doing the math for him. So what you can do, you can go 2 times a year on holiday. And it's much healthier for you, and you don't have to paint it every year. So there's only benefits from not smoking. But for us Christians, it's very important try to stop it is because you have to be clean. But God loves you as much if you smoke or don't smoke. That's not the issue. Eh? And people who smoke, I don't like it for myself because I don't smoke. And I always said to my wife, when I start to smoke, I go in and smoke those little cigars, you know them, the cigarillos.
Yes.
Oh, they smell so good. You know that? You have all kinds of favors. I make a joke out of it. When there's a new year coming on, they say, what is your thing for the new year? Say, yeah, I said, I want to start smoking, but I can't. I failed again. I didn't work. Little joke. But we are a temple. So let us work on that. Huh? Don't spend too much time on your own things. Spend your main time on things of the Lord. That's an advice I want to give you this morning. But you're going to spend more time to the Lord. You're going to pray more. You're going to read the Bible more. And Holland, they say everything that's... We say it in Dutch. Over wat te veel voor staat is niet goed, hè? Everything that's too much is not good for you. That is a Holland saying in Holland. But too much praying, that doesn't exist. You can't pray too much. Praying is a good thing to do. And when you start with praying, you're going to pray more and more and more. When I sit in the car, I pray. With my eyes open, of course. But everything. But I said to the Lord a couple of years ago, Lord, give me through your spirit, give me names for people I can pray for. And then I ride through a village and I know, oh, here is that brother or sister living. And then I pray for him. And so you drive through the country and you constantly are praying. And then when you're at home, all kinds of names come into your mind. The Holy Spirit does that. Mm-hmm. All kinds of issues. And you're going to pray for it. And God's going to answer. So keep on setting your priorities straight. What is your priority? Because God wants to do a lot of things in your life. He wants to use you. I read a story, and I'm not going to finish. I read a book a couple of years ago. There was in America, in Texas, I believe, there was a town not so big, about 10 or 12,000 people. And there was one girl, 11 years old, from the Sunday school. We start praying for her village. One little girl. And God did tremendous things in that village. There were gangs. There was drugs. There was everything. In 2 or 3 years, it was all gone. And most of the people became Christian in that town. Because one little girl, 11 years old, started praying. That's the power of praying. That's the power. So start doing it. Yeah, because there's a... Everything is going to happen through the prayers.
Yeah, that's true.
And the times are getting tougher. Also for Christians. Not alone in, economics, but also spiritually. Because Satan is working much harder.
Right.
Holland was always a free country. But it's going also in Holland, it's going to be harder in the future to be a Christian. To say, Jesus is Lord. And in England, I read a couple of things in England, what's going on there. In England, a lot of Muslims are in the city councils of all kinds of towns. But also in the councils of hospitals, of government things. And they everything that the Christians want, they're going to say no. There's one thing. And you have to think about it. Next year, they will printing new history books in England for the schools. And the guys, the Muslim guys in the council for the school books have said all the things about the Jews, what happened in the war, the concentration camps have to become out of the history books because it's a lie. And the next year in the history books, there's nothing about the Jews. 6 million Jews were killed. And they... swipe it away. Because the people are afraid and they listen to what the Muslims have to say. And the guys who are the Christian leaders there in England say, that's going in Holland, this will happen in Holland also. So we Christians keep on praying to give a reaction to that, all those things. We can't do it in our own strength. We won't have to do it in our own strength. But we have to pray that God keeps blessing Holland, keeps blessing Maastricht, keeps blessing the village, the town where you live. But keep working on your temple. Or else, read it again at home, I'll say that this piece. The blessings of the Lord will go away. But when you, the other side of the story is, while you keep on obeying and you keep on building that temple, it will be a beautiful place. And from out that place, the living water will well, and it will reach other people around you. And you will be a blessing for a lot of people in your neighborhood.
Amen.
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 Let's thank the Lord for this word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the Bible, that we may read your words every time we want. Hallelujah. Thank you for that blessing, Lord, that we have your words. And we can read it whenever we want. Lord, I ask you that what is said this morning, that you will, by your Holy Spirit, let it grow inside of us. Let this word grow and let it be a beautiful fruit for you, that we're going to do something with it, Lord. That it's not just words we hear, but that we're going to work with it in our daily lives.
Yeah.
I pray you, Lord, that we're going to use it in our daily lives, that we keep on building on our temple, and that we don't make the mistake your people made and stop building. You help us to build, to make us a beautiful temple from where your blessings can flow in all kinds of directions. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless this people. Bless this church. Bless Kent and his wife. Bless this here. Thank you, Lord. It's your work. Thank you for your blessings on this place. Amen.